KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:05, it's clear and 28 degrees in Atlantic. The freeze warning that was in effect until 8 o'clock has been allowed to expire. We look forward to be partly cloudy and windy today with a high near 50. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Again, a final reminder for you, there is no Atlantic Head Start today, and that is due to water problems. And the Atlantic Walk to School, Redwood, and 14th Street route was canceled for today due to a lack of volunteer. All other routes were scheduled to take place as normal. In the news this hour, Governor Terry Branstad says the Federal Emergency Management Agency has reconsidered its decision and has granted Iowa's request for flood aid for five of six counties located along the Missouri River. Branstad received word from FEMA Tuesday that the Federal Individual Assistance Program would be made available for Fremont, Harrison, Mills, Monona, and Pottawatomie counties. FEMA did not approve the request for Woodbury County. The program helps homeowners, renters, and businesses by providing grants and loans. Branstad spokesman Tim Albrecht says FEMA didn't give a reason for not including Woodbury County, but he says the county did not have the level of damage that the other five counties sustained from a summer of flooding. News time is 8:06.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Officials of the Iowa Department of Transportation said this morning that with the recent reopening of Interstate 29 in Fremont and Mills counties, it's time to remove the temporary traffic control devices that were put in place on the state highways in western Iowa during the Missouri River flooding. The DOT says the stop conditions at New Street and Orange Street intersections with U.S. Highway 275 and Tabor will be removed and traffic will resume its previous operation on November the 7th. And the stop signs on U.S. Highway 59 at the U.S. 59 Iowa Highway 2 intersection near Shenandoah will be removed November the 7th, and normal traffic operations will resume at that time. The stop signs on Highway 2 at the intersection will remain in place as they existed prior to the flooding. Motorists are encouraged to exercise additional caution at those locations as traffic begins to adjust to the changes. The Nebraska Farm Bureau says a study shows this year's flooding along the Missouri River cost that state nearly $189 million in lost crop sales and other lost economic activities such as processing, marketing, and buying farm equipment. The study released Tuesday looks at 14 counties along the river that borders South Dakota or Iowa. It says nearly $106 million is lost crop sales by farmers. The rest is economic activity that won't occur. The study showed Burton, Washington County, Nebraska had the highest losses at over $28 million each. The study pegs the loss in crops in six counties at $207 million. In local news, the Adair and Cass County Board of Supervisors will meet this morning. In Greenfield, the Adair County Supervisors will hold a public hearing at 9:15 on the first reading of an ordinance adopting a county code of ordinances for Adair County. That hearing will be followed by consideration of the second and third readings, a resolution to adopt the ordinance, and the official signing of the ordinance. At 9:30, a public hearing will be held on the proposed vacation of a road at N-33 Lincoln Township in Adair County. In Atlantic, the Cass County Board of Supervisors today will take action on the assignment of county-held tax sale certificate of purchase for a lot located in Cumberland and the abatement of tax on properties of a municipal or political subdivision of the state. The board will also hear quarterly reports from the Cass County Veterans Affairs Commissioner and County Conservation Director. Both of those meetings are set to begin at 9 a.m. The Atlantic City Council today is set to hold the first reading of an ordinance dealing with the establishment of a minimum maintenance code. If it's eventually approved, Chapter 144, which would be added to the city's Code of Ordinances, would require property owners to keep structures in reasonable good repair. It's designed to keep properties from deteriorating to the point that they're dilapidated and dangerous. City Administrator Doug Harris, the city has been facing a proliferation of dilapidated structures which are not only dangerous, but have an adverse effect on surrounding property values, which tends to further the spread of urban-style blight. Harris said oftentimes the cost to abate those properties exceeds the value of the property, resulting in it becoming tax-acquired city property, and that means an added expense to demolish the structure and clear the grounds, and the cost for those services will, of course, fall onto the taxpayers. Harris has said the Community Development Committee has held three meetings on the matter and arrived at a proposal which will be presented to the council during their meeting this evening at 7:30. The council will also hear a report from Dave Chase with Nishna Valley Trails Incorporated with regard to a proposed agreement with property owner Ted Wickman. Chase received approval for a resolution regarding the agreement from the City of Atlantic's Park and Recreation Department during their meeting on Monday evening.
The resolution that I've drawn asks that the board recommend to the City Council that the park that is utilized by Ted now for farming continue to be used by him until such time as the Schoberg Quarry project has advanced to the stage of having that developed into the recreational park. And as part of that, I think just giving Ted adequate notice in advance of how that project is coming and the timeline would give him some idea of when to withhold his usage of that land.
And the Atlantic City Council this evening will hold a public hearing with regard to the disposition of 706 Walnut Street. The hearing offers an opportunity for the public to comment on what the city should do with the 50 by 140-foot parcel, which was put out for bid last year after it was determined it did not serve a public purpose. The property became available to the city again after Atlantic resident Ed Leistad paid $1,000 to terminate a $5,000 purchase agreement he made with the city for the property earlier this year. And only minor injuries were reported following a single vehicle rollover accident last night here in Cass County. According to dispatch reports, an SUV with a single male occupant rolled into the south ditch off of Interstate 80 eastbound, about 2 miles east of the exit to Highway 71 or near the 62-mile marker. That happened around 9:45 p.m. Early dispatch reports indicated the driver was trapped for a time in the vehicle but was able to become freed before extrication was performed by emergency personnel. There are still no other details available on that accident that was under investigation by the Iowa State Patrol. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour here on KJAN. More than a dozen wild animals may still be on the loose in a rural eastern Ohio, where 48 of them escaped yesterday from a preserve. Those animals include lions and tigers. Yesterday, police killed about 30 of the escaped animals. The owner of the preserve was found dead there, but authorities aren't saying whether he may have taken his own life. There's a hopeful sign for the housing market. Homes were built in September at the fastest pace in 17 months. The Commerce Department says builders began work on a seasonally adjusted 658,000 homes last month, and that's the most since April of last year. Both President Barack Obama and the First Lady will appear at a military base in Hampton, Virginia this morning on the final day of his three-day bus tour. They'll be pushing his jobs bill and announcing a plan for private firms to hire 25,000 veterans and military spouses. And Herman Cain's 999 economic plan caught flack from his Republican rivals last night during the latest GOP presidential debate in Las Vegas. But Cain stuck up for his plan, despite claims that it would amount to a tax hike on 84% of American households. News time is 8:13.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window, as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontanelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In our funeral announcements, Anne Marie Kwapaszewski, age 96 of Harlan and formerly of Panama, died Sunday. A massive Christian burial service for Anne Kwapaszewski will be today at 10:30 at St. Mary's of the Assumption Church in Panama. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. 79-year-old Loretta Wollenhouse of Atlantic died Sunday at the Nebraska Medical Center. Funeral services for Loretta Wollenhouse will be today at 10:30 at St. Timothy Catholic Church, south of Cumberland. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Bradley Bell, age 57, of Anita, died Monday at his home. Memorial services for Brad Bell will be held on Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Anita Community Center. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita has arrangements. Connie Jameson, age 58, of Greenfield, died Sunday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Connie Jameson will be held tomorrow at 11:15 at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Naomi Wilson, age 96, of Oakland, died Tuesday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Shirley Wilson will be held on Friday at 10:30 at the Oaklawn Christian Church in Oakland. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. 64-year-old Robert Pigsley of Des Moines and formerly of Anita died Sunday in Des Moines. Graveside services for Robert Pigsley will be held at noon on Friday in the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Dixie Goodner, age 85, of Harlan, died October the 12th in Wisconsin. A mass of Christian burial service for Dixie Goodner will be on Saturday at 10 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. And Ralph Chiz Jones, age 94, of Audubon, died Monday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Celebration of life services for Ralph Chiz Jones will be held at a later date. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. That is a check of our news this morning on KJAN, brought to you by First National Bank, with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.